Oh, am I doing this?
Yeah, okay. You're doing it.
Well, this is Binary Jazz, the podcast. You know, the best part about the intros is that it comes after music, so it's not like it. It's not like the cold open. Although I guess today, after I said that, Chris is going to be like... To hell with music, that's how we're supposed to
It's going to be a short edit.
I mean, it might be. Who knows?
It's fine, whatever.
You don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't listen, so it's not a big deal.
I know, it could be anything.
I have listened to several shows recently.
Oh. Recently?
Recently, yeah.
Are you going back to through the greatest hits or something?
Can you hear a child screaming? Did that come through the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty fantastic. I assume you did because I'm on my noise canceling headphones and I heard it and turned my head, so it's whatever. This is a podcast. There's a topic. We talk about it. When we run out of time, we answer listener questions. Follow us
if we
on the internet. BinaryJazz.us. Links to all our socials. Twitter. That's our socials. Oh, and of course, YouTube and where you can listen to the podcast. But if you're already listening, I don't think you need to know where to listen to it.
Yeah, so, wherever you're listening to it now is the correct place.
Yeah, we're glad you're with us. Leave us a review on iTunes because that's what other podcasts tell you to do. So it must be important.
I mean, leave us a review anywhere, really.
You could just send us a nice comment. We would take that.
Or send us an email.
I actually think instead of taking the time to send an email, we'll leave us a review. I think you should get out in nature and soak it in. And that would be better than a review. Take care of yourself.
Can they then just send us a review of their time in nature?
If they still feel so inclined, or maybe they'll have transcended to a higher plane and understand that all of this is, you know, just a thing, dark and meaningless.
Have you ever...
Wow. Was a little, didn't mean to turn that way. Apologize.
Have you ever looked up someone's contact info, like an author or someone along that ilk, and like written them a thank you letter?
Oh, a thank you letter. That took a turn.
Or just like a, hey, thanks for this letter.
I've done it on Twitter. I've tweeted at creators on Twitter and said thanks. I think email, the two instances I can remember, would be questions.
Did they get answered?
Yes and no, in that order.
the only email to a quasi celebrity that I've ever written.
Is it celebrity or just?
In my framing of it, it's someone that you don't have access to. That's why you're writing, or it's that detached. You don't.
Yeah, the only Twitter is definitely like I've done Twitter and definitely gotten responses. The only email letter that I wrote to anyone that was of quasi celebrity status was I once wrote a letter to Matt Mullenweg a long, long time ago, when he was still cool and before automatic was whatever thing that it is now.
Profile, yeah. yep, I'm on record. Automatic or fascists?
Yeah, and that. I did get
will
a
not
response.
Be applying.
it was he had made a comment in an interview that said he reads all of his email, and so I wrote him an email, and he did respond.
I actually think that he probably is still cool, but is in over his head. Yeah, I do. I think so. I think that he is in that position where he has risen higher than he expected and is just trying to do that song and dance and really, you know, trying to figure out what's best. And sometimes what's best, you know, he's playing the capitalist game. And that's I really think that's what it comes down to. I don't think that he is inherently an evil person.
No, I don't disagree with like the capitalism part of it. I The stories that I've heard about him, like, dropping into Slack and pulling rank and pushing his weight around and, like, making people do things because he says so. I showed you guys a long time ago the job description for his personal assistant, which kind of basically was like a combination of personal slave and mommy. And like, I don't know. Like, I think the cool has jumped the shark.
Okay.
I do think that he presents as a cool person, and I do generally think he has good intentions. I think that he has risen to a point of privilege where he's no longer able to see the ground.
Yeah, I think that's roughly what I was trying to say, but maybe with a bit more optimism. I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Have you ever written a snail mail letter to someone? This girl has.
That's rad.
Granted, it was like 20 years ago, but still.
I had a pen pal / music sharing snail mail relationship with a friend of a friend. Like somebody I've met maybe twice in person.
Yeah.
And he was living, I think, at the time, and then he came back. He was living and teaching English in Japan. Mm-hmm. So he would send these like MP3 CDs that have like all sorts of like J-rock and J-pop on it, and I would send whatever it was that I was listening to, and we were like into the same sort of like post-rock stuff at the time when we had met. So like, you know, and yeah, so there's maybe a summer-ish or so where like we were passing CDs of MP3s back and forth. And that's probably the last dedicated snail mail correspondence that I've had with anyone.
I had a friend in elementary school. Pretty sure her name was Erica. She moved to, pretty sure it was Virginia. And we did snail mail for a few years and then, you know, kind of died out. But on some family vacation, we were going through Virginia. And so I don't remember if my parents were friends with her parents or what, but I think we stayed at her house one night, like on the way through, instead of like, you know, hotel or tenting or whatever. Maybe we just had dinner there. But it was weird because we hadn't talked in a while, so there was like no more, and we had nothing to talk about because we were a million states away, and you know,
there was no more overlap.
No, I was like, oh, okay, all right, this is how friends grow apart. All right, good lesson.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, one of the things that we did when we were passing CDs back and forth is we had like, We kept reusing the same padded envelope. So it just basically get more and more destroyed, and like stamps would like, there'd be like the stamps and then they get crossed out and put more stamps or whatever on top of it. And like, just like, it was, yeah, I think he ended up with it in the end. So I don't have that. Otherwise I probably would have kept it.
When Ron and I were first married, she did a scrapbook, like, with her sorority sisters. She just graduated college. And she did it in a paint bucket. So she had an empty paint bucket and like set up this, like all these pages like empty, and put a label on it and sent the paint bucket. And then when you got it, you opened it up and you added a page. You'd like the page you're supposed to work on, and then you seal it back up, taped it, put it in the mail. And then it finally came back to Rhonda and the bucket was like all dinged up and dented on the side. But it was cool. She opened it, pulled out and
buckets are really important in your life.
It's a recurring theme on Binary Jazz is the buckets of Gary.
Buckets. It's a really smart way to send something along, though.
Good old Gary Buckets.
Gary Buckets. Trademark.
I could sell buckets. I feel like I feel like I could have like a review of every bucket I sell, you know? I should get in the bucket business.
Which is a perfect lead-in to this week's topic.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Important business to be in is buckets.
Gary Bucket.
I think we had a few false starts there. Getting off the runway. Chris, you're just going to edit all that out, right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know, but most of our podcasts end up being about 25 seconds.
Welcome to Binary. And that's our show.
And that's our show. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah.
This week's topic.
We never say thanks. Oh, that's our show.
Yeah. That's our show. Bye. And do this with our hands.
Yeah, jazz hands.
Jazz hands. I do. After it's done, every time I do that, actually. Zoom kills us, and then I say, and that's our show. Boy, it's going to be awkward at the end of this episode when I start doing that 2 minutes out. Sorry, today's topic.
Allison was giving us a topic.
Oh, yeah. Today's topic is palimpsest. Depending on who you talk to.
Uh-oh. There's two pronunciations.
P-A-L-I-M-P-S-E-S-T. Palimpsest.
P-A-L-I-M-P-S-E-S-T. Mm-hmm. So there's an imp in the middle.
Yes.
And the cest at the end.
Yes. Yeah. Palimpsest. Palimpsest. It kind of just depends on where you put the emphasis, I guess. I have stunned them. Let the audience know.
Well, the interesting thing about silence. This is it's not one that I can immediately say, well, the Latin root, blah, blah, blah.
Have you ever heard of heard this word before?
Never in my life.
Oh, okay. No, I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, I was like, I think they're going to, this is one of those ones where I was like, they're just going to know this. I have no idea why. I think very highly of you.
Apparently far higher than we think of ourselves.
We shouldn't have held an episode today then. dashed your expectations.
I thought this was going to be one of those ones that you like sneaky kind of had a niche of knowledge that I didn't know about. Because I don't know you 24/7.
No, but pretty close to this point.
Okay, so that
when you're at the end of my bubble of knowledge.
That in itself, Gary, is a clue. What does Allison think we know enough about that we might know this thing? So I would propose it either is something music related or something like English language or literary related, but I think that's probably thinking far too highly of us.
First of all, you both know a tremendous amount about a lot of things that I have to veer completely away from. Because I'm like, well, soccer's out. Music is out. Space is out.
I think
you wouldn't fall into those things generally anyway.
And that's true. But they're
the possible exception of soccer.
They're vast topics that...
It's a street performer. It's a kind of street performer, I think.
Palimpsest?
I don't know why I think you would think that we would about street performer. I feel like this is that, but I feel like it's a falls into a, forgive me, bucket of knowledge about things
your hobby of busking at fairs and such.
Right. Have either of you spent much time busking or no?
I have never busked.
I have. Really?
On what, like instrumentally or?
Oh, no, with my hula hoop.
Okay.
You're busking with your hula hoop?
Yeah.
What did you use as a thing to collect tips?
Well, they have to stay away from me, which is also a good thing, that's generally.
Well, and usually, you know, a guitarist will use his guitar case or a violinist will use their violin case. You don't a hula hoop case. Like, what do you use for that?
Actually, I do have a hula hoop case.
Okay.
No. But I didn't use that. I didn't use it. I just had like a hat kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's more like, yeah. Because my hula hoop case is full of my other hula hoops.
How many hula hoops do you own?
Is it just like a big padded circle is dumb. Circle that Like, you would slide it in with handles is the idea, that it's easier to move a bunch of hula hoops with that?
Yeah, It has, like, elastic. Because, like, when I ever traveled with my hoops, I would just, like, bungee them together and call it.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to be gentle with them regardless, which is fine. They're pretty sturdy. It's not a concern.
How
many hoops do you have?
Personal ones, I probably have 4, and then ones that I still have from that are like kind of ready just to be sold or whatever, probably like 10. And then I have 4. Yeah. It's like I have my glow hoop, I have like my regular hoop and my small hoop, and then like maybe 2 little ones.
Do you, like, when you hoop, were you doing, like, multiple hoops at the same time sort of thing? Or are you just
sort of,
like, depends on the situation?
I used to, but generally if I'm just doing it for fun now, and I enjoy it if it's just one. I feel like multiple hoops is more impressive to people, obviously. But I can get away with more just with one by myself. And I can do more tricks with just one. It's
right. I don't know. There's only so many things you can do with more than one. I'm aware.
Which actually means that you're probably more impressive to, like, you know, the people that are more into technical hooping.
Well, the thing
appreciate that, one, the technique is
the thing that polished. That you see, like, all the YouTube videos of with hooping is usually like doing stuff that isn't actually hooping, but like doing weird things, the hoop over here and then bringing it over here, but it's not actually on your body. You're just like doing crazy shit with it. And it's called hooping, but it's really not. And that's, yeah, I mean, I think the people that actually know anything, that's far less impressive. But it's visually.
Oh, it's visually amazing. Because it's also like, I don't know if my skills are such where I could do that type of thing. I'm just more, I guess I'm just more basic. But I obviously haven't bussed in quite some time.
I was asking because we have, I think, 2 hoops currently, but that's after we got rid of 2 other hoops that were the kind that sort of like broke into pieces.
Yeah.
Erin used those for a while, but then decided that she didn't, because they're like, they're a little bit heavier and they have, like the edges, like the ends of the little pieces, and she wanted like one that was just like complete. So we might actually have 3, because 2 of them are hers and 1 of them was mine.
But they're really fun to make if you have enough people that want one, and you can like just invest in the tubing and like do it up. But you do wind up with like a lot of hula hoops for one family.
Yeah, I think we looked into that at one point. Briefly, like figuring out how to make them.
I think the other thing about hooping with multiple hoops is that they all have to be the same size, and like that seems somehow boring and redundant to me to have 3 hoops that are the same size.
Yeah,
also, like I'm in a small apartment, right? I can't. We have like.
My word. I had this mental image of like around once and then thunk on the wall and then down to the ground. Like
it's legit. Like yeah. I can't tell you the number of times when like stuff got hit. Stuff has gotten hit. Like when the kids were little and they were crawling around, like whack in the head. Like, I mean, it's dangerous.
Yeah. No, I'm not allowed to hoop in the house anymore. there's just no space. It's just not. And then storage-wise, it's like we already have, like, 3 bikes, and, like, the hoops have to stay in a closet, except for, yeah, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
You got to think vertical. Which brings us to palimpsest.
Yes, palimpsest. So you, Gary, said it was a kind of street performer. What kind of street performer? I'm just delaying right now. What kind of street performer is a palimpsest?
Something to do with buckets.
What did you say, Allison?
Something
to do with pockets.
So you would know, but I mean, you're cheating. But so in I would say that if it did have to do with buckets, which it doesn't, but if it did have to do with buckets, it's those street drummers that use buckets and found objects as percussion. Yeah, there we go. But that's not it. It's definitely not it.
Yeah. Is it a way for moving buckets, I wonder? Like a bucket moving tool?
A bucket moving tool.
Like, well, they can be like heavy. Like if it's
the prongs.
For some reason, when you said street performer and in the relation to palimpsest, I had like mimes in my
head.
Yeah. Like it's a fancy word for like some sort of like silent like performer of some kind that like just wanders around and like is kind of weird. But maybe yeah, not like maybe like a mime, but like somebody who's just like, I don't know, like a Ren Faire jester type person that's like doing visual gags but like not speaking.
I went to that place too. I was like, oh yeah, like I immediately pictured like a jester Harlequin mime.
Yeah. Yeah. Like picking things out of your hair or like, yeah.
I really enjoyed that mental image. Obviously, with the foolish chuckling.
I don't know. Palimpsest sounds to me like it's some sort of a medical thing. Like it's like something really gross and like something.
Yeah, but wrong kind of cyst.
Right, but yeah. It's something gross and something that's not there, not supposed to be there, like a cyst. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the cyst part of the word that makes me think that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Palimp also sounds like something bad, like a pustule.
When have I ever brought something that's full of goo?
Phloem bundles, maybe?
I mean, Dyson spheres are arguably
okay,
full of goo.
Okay, phloem bundle. But that's interesting. Like, you think about it every time you eat a banana, you're like...
You're darn right I do.
That's a phloem bundle.
And petrichor is a good one that's become a part of my vocabulary.
It's not full of goo, though.
Harkening back... What's that?
It's not full of goo, though.
It's... Oh, no. No, but it's muddy.
Mud and goo are not the same thing, Gary.
You heard it here first.
Breaking news.
Binary jazz coming up with scientific discoveries. Since
mud and goo are not the same thing.
Since 2016, 18, 17, 18.
It was. What year is it now?
It's
20. It's 2020.
But we started in 2017.
Yeah.
So we did all.
Well, we started after the new year. I remember. Yeah.
I think it was 2018.
But we started talking about it at the end of 2017. So since 2017.
Oh. Okay. I because our first episode alpha or pre-alpha release. I was not in Florida. I was in Georgia at a hotel.
The first episode.
I wasn't even here for the first.
Yeah. First episode we were talking about
therapy. Like I didn't show up
for far too long. We were not held in check by Allison. We had no idea what we were doing.
That was an interesting vibe, though, just to like for me to drop it in the chat, and then you're kind of left to your own devices.
Yeah, we might have to lose that episode, Chris. Might have to be some corruption on the cloud. And...
it's there for posterity. Sorry. It's there for posterity.
The evolution.
Do S3 buckets need to be backed up?
Isn't, I mean, sure. But S3 is in itself sort of its own, like, backup.
But, like, but it's not, though. It's like the idea of saying RAID is backup. Like, oh, I have RAID 0, so I have two copies, right? But if you delete the file, like, it's still gone. You still need the backup.
Yeah.
So S3, I need a backup. Okay.
Well, for our non-technical listeners, none of this matters.
And that has absolutely nothing to do with the topic.
And don't worry if you don't understand anything that was just said.
And for our technical listeners, if there are any, Gary just switched over all of our media to some sort of cloud storage thing.
Yeah, I feel like this is an important
story. And now he's stressing about it.
Yeah, I looked at disk usage on the VPS we're on and said, oh, gee, we're running out of space. Maybe I should move some media over to an S3 bucket. And so I did. And then I looked at it and said, gee, we're still using a lot of space. And then I discovered the debug log was 22 gigabytes. And I probably didn't need to set up S3. I could have left everything where it was, but
until our media becomes 22 gigabytes larger. I mean, it'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I think the total was 39. So, you know, 39 minus 22 equals, what, like 17? 17 gigs of media? That seems awful high. How many megabytes is one of these podcasts?
Let me look.
This is meanwhile, a great way to palimpsest.
Yeah, this is great radio.
It's really right compelling.
Chris, and it's great video too. Chris navigates through his directory structure.
Just early morning. Just
normal
fun.
Things that normal people do. Yeah. Okay, the Panopticon episode 101101. Is 66.7 megabytes.
Okay, so they're not big.
But there's a lot of maybe them. I've had to clear
how many
things.
Can there possibly be?
A lot.
We've done quite a few.
The number of episodes we have made is standing today at 89.
Wow. That's significantly more than I expected.
1011100 in binary is 89, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who do not translate binary in your head, which is also us.
You've talked with us a lot, Gary, whether you want to admit it or not.
Actually, 88, because that includes the one that's in draft right now. So that's it. So 88 is the number of episodes that we have. Which makes sense, because it would be odd if it would end with a 1. I know that much.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Cool.
We have a very good one coming out tomorrow, though. I'm excited about that one. It's my only, which would have been last week for anybody listening. But it's my very first topic. I'm very excited for that to hit the world.
I find recently I've been digging into some really deep archives on some
shows. I'm still delaying my own answer for what a palimpsest is.
I know. I've noticed that. We're just like bypassing it.
I'm just like.
I think that the general thought is it's medical related in some way.
Sure. Sure. Is it definitely?
Okay. Is it the name of the? Maybe you should.
Do you want me? Because I could just tell you. It's not like we have to wait.
We're about 10. Well, like 5 seconds away from getting the 10-minute warning anyway. So.
I don't see the timer, so it could be like I'm just
maybe I lied. And it's not a 10-minute warning. It's actually like 2-minute warning, and
I think it's 9, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's immaterial.
It doesn't matter.
So a palimpsest. It can be used a bunch of different ways, but originally it was used in textual studies. So it's like a manuscript page for that the text has been scraped or washed off so it can be reused for another document.
Why would I know this?
Well, because it's pertinent in tech, because some things save over items and some things clear what was there before and then save. Okay. And so I was like, maybe they know it because of some sort of back-end database thing.
It is something that is used. It is a word that is used with regards to technology.
Right. Because it's basically just like, there was such a good little snippet.
Charlotte ran out of the window and is pointing at me, so I keep pointing back at her. It's a pretty good game.
I guess because it's relevant to tech because it's like that the idea that things are lost when you switch formats. So like when you transfer something, say from, it's a good example, like maybe on video, and you're transferring it to another video file, something's lost from that original file. So if you're like creating a new file, it's going to be different than if you copy over the old file and then those bits remain. underneath. Not obviously in tech, but like, I'm picturing yeah. tech as like very, like a layered material item. But like, but that's why, like, in some cases you can recover those bits from certain file types, but not other file types.
So would you say that like a template partial would be equivalent here, where like, here's the frame and then the variables are replaced with different content as it comes in, but the partial is the pull in?
Oh yeah. I think that could be considered.
The word is that I can't say.
Palimpsest.
Yes. Thank you.
Palimpsest. Cool. Yeah, that was not something.
And that's our that show.
That was not something that I knew.
I love when you're so nonplussed about it. You're like, oh, jeez.
Well, I yesterday, or no, what's today? Today's Thursday. We do this on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Thursday, yeah.
The day I had the conversation doesn't matter for the purposes of what I'm about to say. I had a conversation with a colleague, and we got into very deep in the weeds into object-oriented design patterns. And I was like, okay, I need to read some more in the Gang of Four book tonight. I went to grab it from my bookshelf, but oh yeah, my books are packed. And so I've had this like weird nagging need to find design patterns everywhere since then, because I can't fully flesh out the rest of the thought I was trying to have on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the tweet. That's the
show. When is your actual move date?
It's still like a month out.
Yeah.
July the 1st, we close here in Florida. Uh-huh. July 2nd, we close in North Carolina. So it's a long way out. Not really, but it's far enough out that, you know, things can change.
So we do have listener feedback. Oh. But as Ooh, it has feedback. Been as it has been in the last several episodes when we've had it, it's completely spam.
Oh, I was so excited.
I always get my hopes up.
This is from Blondell Coons.
Oh,
and I'm going to read it in the voice that I think the advertisement would come in.
Okay.
In particular, because I keep seeing particular YouTube ads of a particular variety with a particular kind of male advertiser, and I feel like this is coming from the same type of person. No more paying way too much money for rip-off Facebook advertising. Let me show you a method that charges only a minute bit of cash and provides almost indefinite volume of visitors to your website. For details, check out bit.ly.somestuff.
That's several things struck me there about that. First off, what was the word they used for how much? How much traffic?
Indefinite.
Indefinite. That seems like a pretty good way to hedge your bets.
An indefinite volume of visitors.
You got no more traffic. That is an indefinite amount. It's pretty ideal. That's well played as far as spam goes.
And
that bit.ly URL is strong.
Is minute and minute are spelled the same way, right? It's the context that changes it.
Yes.
I believe so.
Okay. Because like I'm doubting it because I read that as minute and I was like, wait, but that's not minute, it's minute. Although minute bit of cash is just wrong anyway.
That's a good one.
So Blondell, I'm going to trash that, but your message has been received and heard.
message received.
It has been heard by all of our listeners. I mean, I could go through a spam filter, spam inbox for feedback, but I'm not going to.
Reply all. Thank you. We will be in touch. Thank you.
Yeah. I've been practicing my voices, obviously.
Did it ring today? I don't know if... I mean, I hope you can hear on the...
No.
Roof. No?
Sad.
Oh. That's so weird. I need to do some exploration into the frequency response on the microphone on this computer, because Screaming child. It's quieter than the rain on the roof. What's going on? What's happening here? I don't understand why.
There is a frequency that like above which I cannot hear. And like I knew this because there's a show that we were watching with the kids called Brain Games, and they were doing like, you know, this is the frequency that you should be able to hear at this age. Like, we can tell how old you are based on frequencies. And I'm like totally fucked. My ears are shot. So there is that, but there's a particular frequency. We first discovered it on a trip we went to. Where were we? We were in Denver, and there was a bug that was making this high-pitched sound, and everybody was like, "What's that sound?" And I'm like, "What sound?" Like, no, that sound. It's really, really loud. Like, I hear birds. I hear the dog in the distance. I hear the wind. I don't know what you're talking about. What sound? And like, I could not hear this high-pitched chirruping or whatever of the insect. And then later, Aaron got this like little tiny bell for like solstice stuff. The idea was that, and it came with like these like little silver like snowflake discs or whatever. And so the idea is like you put a wish in the snowflake and you ring the bell and it goes out into the world and the universe, whatever, for the year. And all I hear of the bell is like the tapping of the hammer hitting the side of the bell. I don't hear the dinging at all. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sound. And she's like, yeah, it does. I'm like, no, it really doesn't. It just makes a rattle. It just makes a rattle noise. I love
the idea of you being like, you got ripped off.
Yeah.
Like, the bell's broke.
Like, what's wrong with the bell? Like,
you got a broken one.
It just makes a rattling noise. And she's like, no, it's dinging. And she keeps doing it. And like, she goes to the kitchen. You hear it, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, that's in the frequency range above which I cannot hear. Yeah, so there's some
the end of the Polar Express. It's fine. Yeah,
there's something
gone away for you, Chris. It's okay.
We've talked about like trying to figure out what that frequency is, just like out of curiosity.
Yes,
like,
I have one of those, but it's not a shelf like that. In your case, it sounds like it's a shelf, like above this frequency, you can't hear it. For me, it's a little bit above C sharp, but in spoken language, like that very rarely happens that people hit a tone that isn't like swooping through. So on occasion, like I will see someone talking and part of a word will just not be audible to me. So
that's fascinating. I don't know. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I was doing like a frequency sweep, like there's a point where like I would, you know,
there'd just be like a blank, a dead space and then you could hear the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't really matter in most things because there's overtones and, you know, harmonics and whatnot that support, it just gets.
But if you were a superhero, your arch nemesis would only speak
in that frequency.
In that frequency.
Thank goodness I'm not a superhero. Problem solved there. Dodge that bullet. Dodge that bullet.
I can hear most things, I think. But I guess I wouldn't know what I can't hear. So.
I mean, I blame very loud concerts, and I also blame blowing out my eardrum when I had an ear infection.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the big thing, but that really only, that was like one ear that got affected by that. And I was not kind to my ears as a young adult going to, I mean, I could probably name the concert that did the most damage to my hearing.
Was it GWAR?
No, it was not GWAR. I've never seen GWAR. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.